Proverbs 3:13. Happy. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. One thing cool about understanding is that the gospel is worthless if there's no understanding. It can be preached all day long, and if there's no hearing, it just is words being spoken, and you might even be somewhat entertained by the words, but until they are triggered by the Holy Spirit and made real to you by revelation, it's nothing. It's the best words in the whole language, and yet they mean absolutely zip, because there's no connection to the life that's in you and what those words are saying. So, but when that connection takes place, and we see it all the time, the aha, oh, I see, oh, that's what you mean. And sometimes after 15, 20 years of being here, I've heard that 1,000 times, and it's the first time I find out what it means. I mean, all that stuff is what the happy is, because then you've been quickened. The inner man has been quickened, and that's where life is real and rich and fulfilling. And at that point, the cheapness of the things of the world stand out. The best things in the world can't compare to this place of understanding, because this lasts. This goes with you. The other things, the shine wears off in a short time, and you need something new. So, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So silver and gold are, you know, the best things on the planet, so to speak. And yet, getting wisdom and getting understanding, it gives you a fulfillment of your destiny and a knowledge of your purpose. Without those two things, people are lost. People go nuts trying to find out who they are and what am I supposed to be doing. Major issues, especially with young people out of college, teenagers, whatever. What should I do? Who should I be? Well, they're looking in the wrong direction, asking it that way. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. One thing about the length of days, the obvious thought there is, oh good, I'm going to live a long time on this planet. But a length of days in that respect, who cares? You know, that doesn't mean anything, that your heart continues to beat every day till you're 104 and then you pass on. Length of days is when each day is rich and full with the very thing we're talking about, the knowledge of who you are and the getting of understanding. That is a long day when the day counts. And you can have a few of those days, and it's much better than a whole lot of days that are just your body functioning.
It's like based outside of time.
Yeah.
The length of days means you have access to eternal life.
Yeah,
so that's
the
that
long
kind of day. You know, you're having the same kind of day every day because it's based somewhere else other than here.
Yeah.
Isn't wisdom Israel? Isn't wisdom the bride?
Yeah, that's why it's
that's
a
she.
Yeah. Are we there yet? We being the bride.
Yeah.
Have you arrived? I guess that's a good question, actually.
The thing that keeps coming back to me over the years keeps coming back to me is, if I'm not in joy, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Take a look. What's going on?
And I'm not in joy that often.
Yeah.
Is it like if wisdom is the bride, the idea is that through interaction with each other, that's the thing that leads us to wisdom. And it's like that knocks around all the stuff off of us that's keeping us from, knocks all the foolishness out of us.
Yeah. Gets rid of the chaff. Goes to the real pearl. Great price. It's interesting how, in this contrast, the world has a lot of magnificent gadgets, toys, jewels, shiny objects, great stuff. I mean, there's really a lot of attractiveness physically to the world. So God has established this setup to create the test, to see where you will invest your confidence and your trust. It's easy for man to think that the world is his oyster, his place of life. And if he gets more of it and a lot of it stacked around him, then he's safe, secure, and okay. And it is attractive, but that's the point. It's, if it weren't attractive, there'd be no test. It wouldn't be a real thing that we're engaged in. It would be a false, not a real game or whatever it is.
And like story in Ecclesiastes, it's written by a guy who did all those things and got all those things and owned all those things and saw and learned all the runs.
Yeah.
Was still bad.
Yeah.
Now I went to that thing with the Egyptian exhibit I was talking about yesterday. They said that the Egyptians believed the gold was the flesh of the gods.
Hmm.
So, when the pharaoh would die or something, they made these intricate gold masks fit over their face to emphasize their belief that, they were entering into this like god position,
They were in agreement with.
I was thinking about the, the idea that the flesh of the gods is gold, and then our God, we eat his flesh is a means of sustenance and bread.
So, oh, so, calf, golden calf. Moses destroys it, makes him eat the gold.
Mm. Must be a
all right.
A synapse there. Happy is the man.
Well, I mean, it never made really sense to me why he would make him eat the gold. But of course, I guess the idea that would go out with the trap.
You're really eating the flesh of your God, so why don't you go ahead and
go ahead and eat your God, which means you should take unto you then the attributes, like eating your enemy's brains or heart or something. But it doesn't do anything.
That's good. It's interesting that the Egyptians, as our type, were the best man could achieve. And what were the Egyptians about except trying to gain eternal life? And they're still around today in their decayed state, to show us a picture of, well, how they do.
So when they saw that he delayed to come down from the mountain, in their panic and need to do something, they returned to the religion of Egypt.
That's right.
By making the golden calf. Excuse me, but I've never seen that.
Oh, that's good. So, the length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the cloud drops down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. I was reminded, keep sound wisdom and discretion. This is an odd connection, but it reminds me of walk in the place that you received your salvation. I know the place I received my salvation was in the lowest point of my life. And that's where, that was the humblest I've ever been. I was way below humbled in my eyes.
Yeah, let's say it, as you received him, so walk.
Yeah, as you receive him, so walk ye in him. And that's the place you want to remember. And that's the place of where wisdom is flowing freely. But once you get into self and get kind of pumped up and thinking you're somebody or something, then it just cuts off. I woke up this morning with a song running through my head of I am weak and he is strong. And that weakness is the blessed position. Because in your weakness, in your inability, then God's ability abounds. But if then you say, oh good, I got it going now, and you try and say, okay, I'll take over from here, and you grab the reins, it's over. So it's this challenge of walking in repentance. And especially when it's happening and not taking over and saying, okay, God, it's my turn now that we got me back on my feet a little bit. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And that's when you're keeping your sound wisdom and discretion. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Anybody lie down and lay in bed at night or and fear come upon you about, oh God, how am I going to get through this? Well, tomorrow, oh shit, I'm going to lose all my money. I'm going to not have a place to live. My jobs are going to fall apart. You know, I mean, all the fears can, when you settle down and the dust clears, if God is not the source of your peace in your life, there's a lot to be afraid of. Oh, did I lock the doors? Oh, shoot. What's that sound? I hear gunshot. Oh, any number of things can trigger and bring fear upon you. But if your mind is stayed on Him, if your heart is you can't fake God out. You can't make Him believe you're a believer. You know, you can't trick Him. So that's what's, again, interesting about all this, is it's for real. And so that's why we press for honesty and openness. Because it has to happen somewhere to break you down, to get you to that place of your weakness. Which we fight, but when we find it, then we're in league with God. And He will be our peace, and our sleep will be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. Just basically, you're ready to give, and when people come to you and they need something and you have the power to release it, that's the evidence that you are in this position of His grace and His sufficiency, because your hand is open. You're not withholding from those in need. But if you find yourself withholding, then you know where you're at. Then it's repentance time. Let's take a look here. What's going on? You check yourself out. Because now you've taken back the control and think that it's, you know, you're trying to be God yourself. say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. That speaks to the importance of our relationships with each other. I mean, we are actually secure because of each other. If we have a Bible study and nobody comes, you kind of feel, well, what are we doing? What am I doing? What's going on? You are my security. You know, you are my coverings. You're my people. And in you, which is in him, there is strength. And even though we're all weak, that's even better, because in our corporate weakness, he is strong. So the body is always, we're always fed by this low place where we're able to hear and to understand. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. We'll stop there. The wise shall inherit glory. And the wise, it's an interesting contrast, because when you think of wise from a Gentile point of view, you lift that person up. Oh, he is wise. You know, he is to be revered. But everything we read here, wise is a low place, not a high place. And that's always the way God's seeing God's stuff is. He always takes the low seat. And if we understand that, then we have great understanding. And we don't have to get the best seat in the synagogue. We won't be the one to run to the front and elbow others out of the way, so we can have our own creature comforts satisfied. It also puts you then in the place of waiting on God, because chances are you'll find yourself in uncomfortable situations. But then God is activated, you might say. He will see that, wait, this person is not exerting himself. I guess it's time to inhabit him. So there's always a risk, and there's always like loss in walking with God. But we accept that going in. What is picking up the cross but accepting death? And then when it comes, should we be surprised? We shouldn't. That's when we stay the course. We don't throw the cross down and start scrambling around trying to make our own way and get our own life. That's all. She is beautiful. Better than rubies. Fine gold. Well, let wisdom show herself to you. That's what's, again, interesting about reading this stuff, is that being open to it, it's all around. I mean, it's always all around. But if you're not open, it's not, you don't notice it. Because if what we said is true, if what I said is true this morning, you will find her in the place you don't expect her, in the low place, in the humble, in the weak. the light. Amen. Well, any business stuff today?
Can we be gone this weekend?
Oh yeah, till Monday.
Monday, probably.
And when are you leaving?
Saturday morning, very late.
That would be tomorrow.
And you will be going where?
And where?
Houston, yeah. Taking Violetta to see the ocean.
Going to the
ocean. Maybe raining, but.
Yeah.
Kager is a relative Saturday night.
Johnny. Just like every Saturday night, whether they're here or not.
What happens Saturday night?
Cake party.
Oh, cake party. Yeah.
We do a lot of
bunch
bumping around up there.
I hear White Rock is overflowing. Have you been out there?
Right. Abrams was overflowing yesterday. And I just about didn't make it.
Well, they had a flood warning, and they were showing the numbers, like 84 is okay, and they were up to 87, whatever that means. And it was a warning.
It's pouring over the spillway, no doubt.
Apparently, voluminously. Might be worth a.
It's good for breakfast.
Yeah.
My dad used to take me out to look at floods when they'd have a flood. He had to go cover them, you know, and everything. And sometimes I'd go with him. And then we got the spillway, and there's always some idiots out there. At that point, where they were trying to walk across, you know?
Yeah.
The spillway.
It's usually Martins.
But they'd die.
Hey, look at this.
Usually
it's
brown.
Yeah.
There.
A lot of water. Good day, everybody.
Good
taco.
Taco man.
What kind of tacos does he like?